Good morning. You know, I can't believe what happened. You know, I came here at 9:30 and no one was here. And then everyone showed up about an hour later. Just kidding. But you know what? I'm glad that they didn't have daylight savings time in Africa. It would have been total chaos, you know. Well, you know, most people there, they don't have clocks or watches. So maybe it wouldn't matter anyways, but you know, they have two types of time there. They have Muzungu time. Muzungu means foreigner, alien, or white man, white person. Muzungu time or African time. Muzungu time is everything starts right on time exactly. African time starts an hour later. So we might be on African time this morning. Let's see. That says about 10:20. Maybe someone set that clock back 2 hours instead of 1 hour. Anyway, so I have till 12 o'clock, right? African time. Okay. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Jonah. The Gospel of Jonah, chapter 1. Did I say Gospel of Jonah? Yes, Gospel of Jonah. I like to refer to this book as a gospel. In fact, there are other books in the Old Testament, such as Genesis. That's another great gospel book, you know. You can see pictures of the gospel, pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout the Old Testament, as well as the New, of course. So the Gospel of Jonah, there's a theme that I would like to give or title to this, and it comes from the second chapter of Jonah, verse 9, which says, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 9. And I'd like to look over this book as a whole, but I don't know if I'll get through it all. Maybe we'll get through two chapters and maybe a couple chapters another time. We'll see how the time goes, but if I have till 12, then I should have enough time. Right. So chapter 1, we will see the salvation of the sailors. Chapter 2, the salvation of Jonah. Chapter 3, so the salvation of Nineveh, of the people of Nineveh. And chapter 4, God's desire to see all people saved, the salvation of all. Now, this book is a book of grace. God demonstrates his grace throughout this book, throughout the whole Bible, actually, but I really like how God demonstrates his grace throughout this book. It's a short book of four chapters. And I see this as kind of like a missionary book. You know, we've been studying in our missions class the biblical mandate for missions. And we've been started with the book of Genesis, and we can see how Genesis really, and how the book, the whole Old Testament and the New Testament, really got to show that God is a missionary God. He's missionary-minded. He's ascending God. And you know what the word, where we get the word missionary or mission from? I could ask my students there. I'm sure they know. You know, the word comes from the Latin word missio, which means sending out, sending out. Remember that. It's on the test. Okay. Sending out is the meaning of the word missio, where we get the word mission or missionary. And so we see that God is sending out missionaries throughout the scriptures. And we like to look specifically at this book of Jonah, where God is sending out Jonah to do a work, to go on a mission. And if we start with verse 1, It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go. Jonah, go. I have a mission for you. Get up." Jonah is now receiving his commission from God. And when I see this word go, I automatically think of the two, you know, a couple famous missionary verses. You know, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so Jonah is getting his commission from the Lord directly. He says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry unto it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Verse 3, but Jonah, we'll look at this word but Jonah had other plans. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Jonah was fleeing away. He did not want to go. Yeah, he went, but he went in the wrong direction. He went, you know, perhaps Jonah was thinking, I'll serve the Lord. I'll go. I'll be a missionary, but not that place, Nineveh. How about this place, Tarshish? This place, Tarshish, was on the southern coast of Spain, you know, the western shores of the Mediterranean. Yeah, those people, they need the Lord. I should go there. You know, I could start maybe a beach ministry. That would be nice. Yeah, I think I'll go there. You know, after all, it says go into all the world, you know, go to the ends of the earth. Problem is, Jonah went to the wrong end. Jonah, you're supposed to go to the other end. And so Jonah, he got on a ship at Joppa and headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare. He went down into it. And then it says, from the presence of the Lord. Twice it says in verse 3, from the presence. Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Is that even possible, to flee from God's presence? Jonah knew, and we know, that God is omnipresent. And he was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. How is that even possible? Can you imagine such a place? A place where the Lord is not. To me, I imagine that's a place of where there's no love. Absolutely no love, no joy, no peace. Can you imagine? The only place I can imagine of such a place would be hell. And for the lost, perhaps it will be like that. I'm sure it will be for eternity. How very sad. But for the believer, the Lord is always with us. Wherever we go, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And look at, just quickly, if you want, in Psalms chapter 139, it's in verse 7. It says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea." I wonder if Jonah was thinking about this verse when he is in the belly of that great fish. "If I shall dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Certainly, what a blessing it is for the Lord to be with us. Wherever we go, he had promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. God never flees from us, but unfortunately we flee from him. We go our own way. Even though the Lord is still there with us, but sometimes we go astray. We go try to do things our own way. How do we flee? How do we flee from the presence of the Lord? Well, maybe perhaps we hear the Lord nudging us or asking us or commanding us from His Word, but we try to ignore it. We try to ignore the voice of the Lord. We try to blot it out. I say, He doesn't want me to go to my neighbor and share the gospel with him. No, I'm sure he's too busy. Or how do we flee? We ignore it, or perhaps we can physically escape as Jonah escaped or fled. Perhaps we can move to a different town or perhaps go to a different church. Oh, well, I'll go to one of these big mega churches where I can just sit back, mingle with, just sit in the big crowd and I would never even be noticed and I don't have to be involved in serving the Lord. We make up excuses. We say, well, Lord, I'm sort of pretty busy. I got too much work to do. I got my job. I have to look after my family. Lord, I better not get involved. Many times we come up with excuses or ignore the Lord's calling. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord. I like this phrase, and I'm sure Greg also likes this phrase too, and you know it. But God has another, God has another plan. But the Lord. But the Lord, but God, like there's one in Ephesians 2, verse 4, which says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Or Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has another plan. Though we go our own way, we are sinners, but God has a better plan. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried unto his God, and cast forth the waters that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides. Here another Jonah, but Jonah has other plans. He is down in the bottom of the ship, and he lay aside and was fast asleep. God sent a storm, a tremendous storm, a hurricane, and the ship was about to be broken up. And these mariners, they were terrified. They were afraid. Now, I'm sure these men, they had much experience. They lived, their whole life was on the sea, and I'm sure they weathered many a storm, but this one was different. This one was different. This one wasn't natural. This one was supernatural. And they were terrified, and that's why they were praying to their own God. All the sailors were praying to their own God. They were having a prayer meeting on deck. It was that bad. Everyone cried to their own God. They tried to lighten the ship. But where's Jonah? Jonah is fast asleep. Now, this is what I can't understand. How can this guy be fast asleep while in a tremendous storm, the boat is being broken up, and he's sound asleep? I don't understand that. I mean, perhaps he was so relieved to be on the ship. Perhaps he was relieved that he is no longer going to Nineveh. He is now going in the opposite direction. Ah, now I'm relieved. I'm no longer on my way to Nineveh. I'm going away, and so now I don't have to be bothered with that mission that the Lord is calling me to do. You know, being a missionary, and we would plan our furloughs every few years or so, and we would, you know, we'd have to start packing way ahead of time. We have to organize our trip, our tickets, and all that, and pack up, and then we have to get down to Lusaka, and then make sure we're at the airport on time, and it's just very, very stressful. And especially with all my kids with me, you know, with especially when they were young, they couldn't help me carry the bags. So it was a very, very stressful time. And we were hoping and we're, you know, wanting to go through immigration and customs and security and then get our bags checked in, and hopefully they take everything without charging us extra. And then we go through the gate and we sit down in the plane. I go, oh man, I'm glad to be in the seat and I'm on my way home. And what a relief. Perhaps Jonah felt that way. Oh, now I can relax, you know, now I'm getting away from the Lord and he won't bother me. I'll go to the beach of Tarsus in Spain there. That sounds like a nice place. Oh boy. Well, so he was fast asleep. Or perhaps the Lord causes the sleep to be sound. I don't know, but he was found asleep, and the boat was being broken up. And the shipmaster, in verse 6, came to him. He says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? O sleeper, arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. It must have been quite embarrassing for these heathen, these pagans, to be rebuking this man of God, you know? You ever have someone like that? You know, if you have not been really doing what you should be doing, and someone, unbeliever, comes to you and rebukes you, you shouldn't be doing this, you know. Are you a Christian? You know? Unfortunately, you know, I'm sure many of us have had those experiences. A rebuke from a non-believer to saying that we need to get right with the Lord. And perhaps the Lord uses men and women like this to get us back onto the right track. O sleeper, call upon thy God. Call upon thy God. How often are we sleeping as believers? Has the Lord called us? Have we fled? Are we sleeping? Well, I guess I should admit that I'm sure I'm that way many times, sleeping when I should be working or serving the Lord. And not fleeing. Verse 7, and they said unto everyone his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. This reminds me of the verse that says, behold, your sin will find you out. His sin was found out, you know, just from casting lots, you know. And they found out that it was Jonah. And they said to him, verse 8, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is thine occupation? Where do you come from? What is thy country? And what people are thou? Who are you, Jonah? What do you do? Where do you come from? And I like Jonah's answer in verse 9. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. I fear the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and of dry land. Something's not right here. Jonah was saying that who he was, that he's a Hebrew and he fears the Lord, you know. Well, what is this fear? What's the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is having an awe before the Lord, an awe before him, a piety in his presence, obedience to the word, a saving faith. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And there was a testimony. This was a testimony. Jonah was saying that, you know, he was confessing and testimony that who he was, and perhaps he was even a witness to these sailors. You know, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created all things, the Almighty Creator. This is the one who I fear, the one who I serve. Isn't it ironic that he is saying that he serves and he fears the Lord, but it seemed like there was a contradiction in the way he was living. The way he was living and the way he is acting, fleeing from the Lord, seemed to contradict what he says or what he truly believes. How often do our actions contradict our word? He says in verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid. Before they were pretty afraid. They were really afraid because of the sea, the storm, the boat being broken up, you know, they were really afraid. But now, they were really exceedingly afraid. Not because of the storm, but because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all creation, the God who made the sea, he was after Jonah. And they just happened to be together on the same boat, you know. And they say, oh man, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble, you know, the wrath of God is coming upon us because this prophet of God has fled from him. And they knew that. Why have you done this, they say? Because they knew. It says they knew he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Again, three times it's mentioned that phrase, from the presence of the Lord. Then they said unto him, verse 11, what shall we do to thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Verse 12, and he said unto them, take me and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea will be calm for you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Take me and throw me into the sea. I think if I was Jonah, I think I'd ask for a life preserver, you know. Cost me, where's your life preserver? Where's your flotation devices, you know? You can toss me into the sea, but give me a piece of wood or something. But Jonah didn't ask for anything. He said, cast me into the sea. Now, why? Why? Now, we don't see Jonah praying here. Why don't Jonah get on his knee like the captain said? He said, pray to your God. But we don't see any evidence here of Jonah praying until he is in the belly of the fish. What would God have done? Perhaps God would have spared them, perhaps, and spared Jonah. Perhaps if Jonah did get on his knees and repented and said, okay, Lord, I confess my sin, I'm sorry and all that, and I will serve you, I will go to Nineveh. I believe the Lord would have calmed the sea right then and there. It seemed like Jonah wanted to, he'd prefer to drown in the sea than to go to Nineveh. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. They rowed hard. They tried. They didn't want to throw Jonah, this prophet. You know, they thought they would probably really be in big trouble if they threw this prophet of God into the sea. But so they tried to row and row, and they tried to get to the land, but they could not. This reminds me of works. People trying to get to God by doing good works. But like I said, this book is a book of grace. God demonstrates his grace throughout this book, throughout the whole Bible. And many churches around the world are preaching that we are saved by works. But it's like these men in the boat. They row hard and hard. They can't. It's impossible to get to the shore. We are not saved by good works, but only by the grace of God, as we continue to see in verse 14. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Now they're praying unto Jonah's God. They were praying before, now they're having another prayer meeting. Before, they were praying to their false gods. Those false gods didn't hear. The sea kept raging and roaring. But now, they're praying to God, Jonah's God. We see the salvation of these sailors, these pagans who were idol worshipers. Now they have turned to the true and living God, and they cried unto the Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let not us perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us this innocent blood. For thou, Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. The sea became calm. They prayed to the true and living God, the God of creation, the God who made the sea, and God showed it to them, and they believed. They believed that, and God answered their prayer. They put their faith in trust in the Lord. In verse 16, it says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now, before they were afraid exceedingly. Now it says they feared the Lord exceedingly. The same kind of fear that Jonah had, a saving faith and awe in before his presence. They now feared the Lord and see, and they saw what great wonders the Lord has done by calming the sea. And they offered sacrifices unto the Lord, and they made vows. Again, God's grace. We see God's grace demonstrated here to these sailors. And they put their trust in him. Now the Lord had prepared, verse 17, a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Again, God showing his grace. God is showing, saving Jonah from dying, from drowning. Jonah, God was not after Jonah to punish him. God was after Jonah to rescue him. He rescued him and provided this fish, just like providing an ark for Noah and his family. God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah to keep him alive. And he is in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. You know what this is a type of? A type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus says, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, so I will be in the belly, in the heart of the earth, 3 days and 3 nights. grace. What grace our Lord shows. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed. Here we have the first time that Jonah prayed. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the belly of the fish. And he said, I cried unto by reason of my affliction. Yes, he was afflicted, probably mentally and physically. He knew God was after him. He knew what he should have done. And now he is in the belly of the fish. You can imagine what it must have been like. It says, unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Sheol, or out of the belly of hell, as some translations say. Sheol, hell, what is this? It's a place of death. It's a place of death. Perhaps the grave. He described it as the belly of hell. I'm sure it must have been. Can you imagine being in this fish's belly with all the other partially digested fishies? It must have really had a bad fish smell to it. Some people don't like the smell of fish, but it must have been pretty bad. Pitch black. Probably very cramped, you know. Very, very cramped. And Jonah, I'm sure he must have had a hard time breathing. But the Lord preserved him. There's no escape for Jonah. Just like there's no escape for the soldiers, for the sailors, trying to row out of the raging sea. Not by works we are saved, but God, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so he is saving Jonah. He was rescuing him. Verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Did Jonah just now get his wish? He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, and now he says, I am cast out of your sight. Well, he knew he wasn't. He knew the Lord because up above there he says that he cried out of the belly of the fish, and thou heardest my voice. He knew that the Lord heard his cry, his prayer. And then in verse 4 it says, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. I will look towards the holy temple. The holy temple, that's symbolic of the Lord's presence. They knew that the temple was there, and the pillar of fire or the smoke knew that people could see that, know that the Lord's presence is there. And so Jonah is saying, now I'm looking towards the holy temple, towards your presence. Now, Jonah knew that he couldn't depart from the fish's belly. From the presence of the Lord. He knew that he could not depart from the presence of the Lord. And he couldn't depart from the fish's belly either without the Lord's help. And we will see that in a second. He went down, it says, verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. A picture of death. I went down. Picture of death, to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Picture of burial. Picture of burial. Her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Picture of resurrection. Resurrection. Thou brought up my life from corruption. Here we have the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And we know that's the gospel, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you know, I declare the gospel unto you that Jesus, and that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Here the gospel is right here, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and even for ourselves, that we have died to sin, and God has given us a new life, and we are in the likeness of his resurrection. Thank the Lord. Verse 7, when my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I find this very interesting. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. How often do we give thanks to the Lord? I couldn't imagine being in a fish's belly, in the belly of the fish, and giving thanks. Jonah came to the point where he had to acknowledge who God was and that God had a purpose and plan. And this, yet, he wasn't delivered yet at this time, but he gave thanks to the Lord. A sacrifice. I mean, certainly it is a sacrifice to give thanks in such dire circumstances. But the scripture teaches us as believers that in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. But the Lord may have other plans. And the Lord may use difficult circumstances in order to bring ourselves back to him. Salvation is of the Lord alone. Salvation was not of the sailors. Salvation was not of Jonah. Salvation was not of the Ninevites. It's of the Lord alone. As it is well known, as it has been said many times here, that God saves us by his grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We are not saved by blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Of God alone. In verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Jonah must have been a very happy man. I'm a new man. Woohoo! Wow. He probably didn't smell very good, though. But he felt born again, right? He's a new man. It certainly was a miracle what God did for him. He didn't deserve it. Did he deserve it? No way. He deserved the very opposite. But God, through his grace, saved him. It was a miracle. And I don't know how he looked, you know, whether his skin was already started to be digested by those digestive juices, you know, and really smelly, or perhaps God preserved him even just like he preserves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire. They didn't even have the smell of the fire on them. And maybe he preserved Jonah the same way. Or maybe not. Maybe he had to, you know, in that condition, hit the road, you know. So anyways, the fish vomited Jonah out upon dry land. A type, again, the type of resurrection. Many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the gospel. Again, God showing grace to Jonah. I don't have time for the next two chapters, but, you know, perhaps another time I'll do chapters 3 and 4, but just to give you an idea, you know, and I'm sure you know the story, you know the rest of the story. Jonah hit the road, you know, God told him, okay, Jonah, hit the road, get going. And it was quite a distance, you know. It was probably about 550 miles to 700 miles away. And he had a long journey to go. And it probably was not very comfortable. And he needed to go and preach to the enemies of Israel. Pagans, idolaters, those who worship Dagon, the fish god. And so I'll leave that for next time, but we just thank the Lord for his grace, for his mercy, for his loving kindness, not only with Jonah, but for our own lives. And I pray that we would be conscious of the Lord calling us to wherever or whatever he would have us to do, to be witnesses for him wherever we are. And so with that, I'd just like to close with a little short video clip. And then after that, I'll have Tim lead a song. So maybe someone could turn out the lights, if possible. And it's sort of a funny little musical.